This episode is sponsored by Voke Energy Chewables, made with superfoods right here in the United States. All-day support for clear thinking, mental focus, and a good mood. You eat one mid-morning and another mid-afternoon. Check out voke-energy.com and get voked.
Hey, it's Patrick, the founder and one of the hosts of Break Time U, and welcome to episode 45, which is a new era for Break Time U, because not only do we host our own guests, we host other podcasts, and we kick that off with Eric Rodriguez and the future of the human experience. So today, this podcast is both English and Spanish, and Eric talks about breaking barriers. So enjoy episode 45. And make sure to follow us on social media or wherever you get your podcasts to stay in touch with the latest from Break Time U, where we make break time learning time.
Un poquito más. Do you, are you a salsa dancer then?
I'm a salsa dancer. I'm a merengue dancer. You put the music and I just dance. You know, my clients love that too, because you bring the mindset, just play the music and I will dance. Your clients love that because whatever they play, you find a way to just make it work. And that's the beauty of our culture.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's resilient. Doesn't matter what happened. We'll always find a way to make it work.
I love that. I remember the first time we went to San Juan with my wife. We're celebrating our 1-year anniversary. And we get there. We want to go out dancing. And then we get to this restaurant, like this bar place. And then all of a sudden, people just started dancing. And they were like dancing like amazing salsa dancers. And I was like, oh my God, maybe this is a show. And so like we approached them. We're like, wow, are y'all like professional dancers? And they're like, no, we're Puerto Rican.
I'm very humble too.
They're like, yeah. And I was like, we're just going to sit down and watch all the Puerto Ricans dance. Because it's amazing. Like how los puertorriqueños embrace just the beauty of music, the beauty of just that human connection.
Absolutely. Awesome. And that human connection is everything in what we do. That's why people love going to the island. I don't know if you know this, but Airbnb Superhost, the number one country in the world with the most top hosts, is Puerto Rico. Because we go out of the way to make you feel welcome, to make you feel right at home, which is so connected to the topic that we're discussing today.
Absolutely. No, and the mofongos and the food, you can never go wrong there. Joy, tell us a little bit more. So what do you dedicate yourself now? Like, what are you on a mission to do today in this world?
You know, Eric, after spending 15 years serving in roles as the director of recruitment, retention, in charge of leadership program, my last role as the first civilian chief in the history of the greatest and largest Costco in the world, now I dedicate my full days to help leaders build team cultures ready for everything. Doesn't matter if we get the COVID, doesn't matter if AI, doesn't matter what comes, we have teams that can survive anything. So that's my focus nowadays. Of course, with a focus on inclusion and equity.
I love it, love it. Enjoy. And now in this era that we're getting not only more digitized experiences, AI is becoming now in this forefront, culturally relevant. What are some of the roles that technology could play to help accelerate a more inclusive environment and create more equitable experiences for folks?
Listen, I'm thrilled. Of course, in the field of DEI, people feel in different ways. But the reason I am so hopeful about the future is because in my work with leaders across industries, there is something they need the most, and that is time. And to do inclusion right, to do equity right, you need intentionality and you need time. So when we have a force like AI, a force that can save hundreds of hours, I want to automate inclusion. I want to automate equity. I want to find ways to help my people to embed inclusion into every single area of a business. So in order to do that, we need to start with awareness. We then move to analytics. And then we keep building and building until we get to accountability. So that's the framework that we use from our awareness to analytics and eventually to accountability. And we can dive into each one of those.
And Joey, what are some of the challenges you've seen in smaller or bigger companies? Does it matter the size of the company that they're trying to drive some of these changes? Or do they face different challenges?
Absolutely. So the challenge with DEI is, of course, industry, geographical location, size of the organization. Everything has an impact in your DEI strategy. So the opportunity and the challenge that we have here is that historically, DEI is seen as a monthly heritage event. Like, let's all get together and eat and dance and have some fun. And there is nothing wrong with that. We need to do that. We need to celebrate. Yet, I believe we need to add some rigor to the industry, to what we are doing. And like anything else, like engineering, like finance, like HR, let's add some rigor to what we are doing and achieve some maturity levels. Mm. So to go to your point, does it matter? Yes, it does. It everything does. Particularly if we need to set a maturity level. Like, where are you? As an organization, can you answer? Are you a new DEI? Are you in the middle? Are you advanced? Where are you today? If we can answer that, then we can drive our goals better.
And Joey, do you help companies explore that question and figure out, hey, if I've determined where I'm at, what are the next steps I need to take to where I want to go?
Absolutely. And that rigor is so important. And there are many ways to do that. We can call them DEI audits. We can do focus groups. We can study the analytics, study the history, surveys. There are a plethora of strategies that we can implement to do that in a holistic way. Yet, Eric, you will be surprised that many organizations are not even thinking about that. In our field, performative DEI is known. Like, I do an event here, or I do an action there, hoping to achieve the change that we need. And my message to organizations is, let's stop doing performative actions and let's focus on the long-term goals. Think about strategically, where are we taking our organization? Where are we taking our people holistically and systemically?
Love that. And do you see a role that technology could play to help change that mindset for more of a long-term goal, putting our long-term goals right there up in front and for us to work through those?
You know, when I think about AI, when I think about technology, I think about analytics. And I'm a fan of analytics because right now, each number tells a story. And if we can find where are the gaps in an organization in a systematic way, and that's where AI can help, let's automate this. Let's know where are our gaps during the entire talent acquisition process, talent management process, from recruitment to development to promotion, retention. Let's study through analytics in an automatic way to see where the gaps are. Because when we know where the gaps are, then we can be more surgical about equity and then close those gaps. But the reality is that organizations sometimes are not even tracking the data that matters the most.
Yeah, and Joey, and this is where I would love to clarify your perspective, right? I think some of the companies probably decide not to do that because also some of the stories that you hear from automation or AI are like, well, there's some bias into that. Absolutely. And so therefore we're not going to implement that. How do you help companies navigate that, in some cases, misconception, in some other cases, the reality that sometimes implementing these technologies have their own bias and stereotypes? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely, and discrimination, and many of them are systemic. There are several strategies organizations can take to protect themselves of that. However, just a big note here. In this process, we are gonna make mistakes. And if we are in the long term embracing an agile mentality, a growth mentality, that yes, if we wanna make change, we are gonna make mistakes and that's okay. So that's number one, embracing a learning mentality, knowing that you are gonna screw up at some point. So that's number one. Number two, in order to prevent stereotyping, discrimination, or bias, inclusive decision making. Mm. Often, you know what happens? We take decisions close hold. You know, a group of executives that they look the same, they think the same, they come from the same place. Let's embrace diversity of thought as well as diversity of representation in a room. So that's one thing. Bring diversity to the room, and then once you have that diversity, embrace inclusive decision making. In other words, seek different perspectives. Mm. Ask for people to give their opinions. And I always ask executives, think about who is not in that room that deserves and needs to be in the room. And once you get them in the room, what mechanisms do you have to pay attention to what they're saying and seek to understand? So when you have inclusive decision making and space to hear different perspectives, then you minimize the issues with bias, the issues with stereotyping.
And Joey, when you ask executives to think about who's not in the room but deserves to be in the room, what are some of the answers you get on why they weren't in the room in the first place? What are some of the challenges they face on navigating that?
The first reaction I get is, oh, I forgot about asking about that. And listen, that is okay. You know, we are moving fast. We are trying to achieve deadlines, break records. So often I like to ask people, start there. Start asking who is not in the room. And then that answer will help you understand many things about your organization. And then the other question is, who is trying to get into the room, but they're not getting into it? Yeah. So, and then those are equity questions. Those are, and once you start asking and answering them, then you start closing gaps in some way, shape, or form.
That reminds me, Joey, of a story that when I was in college, I had a really interesting class. It was a political science class. And a third of the grade was this debate that we got to do in the middle of the year. And I was like, you know what? I'm comfortable speaking. I'm comfortable being in front of students. And the topic was affirmative action. And I was like, oh my God, I got this down, right? So they gave me my topic. And then they said, Eric, your position is against affirmative action. And I was like, whoa, hold on there. Hold on. Like, what's going on? I was like, I've been the president of the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. I've been part of the En-ROADS organization. I've been having these conversations about affirmative action and diversity on campuses. Why would I go and do a debate against it? Why would I go and study this? And my professor's perspective was amazing. She said, Eric, I want you to better understand the perspective against the position you care about so you could be much more passionate and informed about how you could have a more thoughtful conversation about why you're for it. And that just completely started reshaping how do I engage and basically understanding someone else's perspective. Doesn't mean we have to get to an agreement, but we could at least develop a common understanding on why we care about what we care about.
How do you feel during that process? I'm so curious. Oh, yeah. I would love to be there with you.
It was super informative, but also like I got to learn a ton. I mean, I've always been like this lifelong learner. And so me diving into essays and studies about certain thought leaders around, hey, why affirmative action is not a good thing, I wanted to better understand that. And then what it helped me understand is that, oh, okay, now I understand some of the systematic challenges that they were highlighting as well. So they're also driving this mission of, yeah, we do want to create these great educational experiences for the next generation, but this might not be the best path. That was simply there, and this is why. And that was their approach. And so it really did help me understand that, but also helped me understand to dive into, okay, well, let's understand some of these systematic issues and how do we address them today? But also the history behind them too, right?
Absolutely.
That's the other part too. Like sometimes the systems that we live in today, when we start asking ourselves, why do they exist? That also opens up this channel of a better understanding on, okay, well, if these are some of the challenges that we see today, it's not just the system was not created from one day to another, it was built, right? And so if we better understand how these systems were built, we're better prepared to implement the right solutions, or in this case, maybe even technological solutions, to go and address the systems versus propagating them.
You know, I like to say, Eric, open-minded is a new smart. Mm. In this century, the ability to sit down and have a conversation with another person. Actually, strike that, not a conversation. The ability to sit down and listen to each other, particularly to perspectives that we may disagree with. And the reason I ask you, how do you feel? Is because when they ask you to go against affirmative action, I'll probably have had a visceral reaction, probably highly emotional and kind of offended. What in the world are you asking me? But that experience is a muscle. Absolutely. That I believe right now in such a polarized society, we need to be able to just sit down and listen to each other and manage those emotions while we are at that. And that's a skill. That is a skill that is comprised of several things, like the power of asking questions, the power of listening, the power of perspective taking, and most importantly, the power of finding common ground. Because often when we get in these type of conversations, I sit down like this, let me see how I disagree with you. And that is the opposite of what works. Let's sit down and find ways to, how am I going to connect with you? Even if we are so different, going with a mentality, there is something in this human being that can connect with me. And when you show with that curiosity, that's what true magic happens.
I love that, Joey. And I think, I mean, and that's the conversation we want to have in this podcast series, right? It's like the future of the human experience is not about what technological revolution is coming. It's more about, hey, what does the human experience look like? And I know one of the things that, you know, some news in your life right now, you're a parent, and congratulations again. Yeah. It's been wonderful to see. What is your hope for your child now that you know, you brought into this world, and you think about the future and the work that you're doing too? What is your aspiration for him?
I love that question, Eric, and it's a question that, to be very honest with you, I haven't really thought about. And so I'm gonna give you an answer from my heart. What comes to mind is more love, less hate. And that could mean so many things. But when I think about my Teddy, you know, he has 40 days, literally. What I'm thinking is I want a future for him that is open, that it's inclusive, that is caring, kind, loving, and accepting. That doesn't matter that he comes from Puerto Rico, doesn't matter that he has a flavorful accent, or doesn't matter if he is big or small. At the end of the day, what matters is that you're a human. And because you're a human, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna respect you, and I'm gonna embrace you. So that's my hope.
I love that, Joey. And Joey, do you think we're trending more towards there now than we were maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago? I mean, that you've been doing this work, do you feel much more aspirational that because of not only your work, but because of the momentum that's being built around this, and also because of the role that technology has played to connect us even more, us become more aware about the different experiences that we're having. Do you feel that the trend is there for Teddy to see that future that you're aspiring for him to have?
Absolutely, yes. And that yes is resounding. And some people will disagree with me, and that is okay. Sure. That is okay. I stand in a hopeful future. I do, and I have faith in humanity, faith in this new generation, because even when we are in a day and age that we are divided, that we are polarized, that we have so many different points of view, I have a generation that is not accepting and just standing by injustice. We are speaking up, we are saying we are against this, and we are achieving change in several areas. Now, do we have work to do? Absolutely, yes. I'll have work until the day I die, because there is division, there is lack of unity. And as long as we have humans in a room, we will experience that. So let's make people and help people unite. let's help people find more common ground. And at the end of the day, we'll have a better world. So I'm hopeful, Eric.
I love that, Joey. And also, I love the shirt that you're wearing today. So tell us a little bit more about what the shirt means and why you're wearing it.
So yeah, it says break all rules. And you know, I've been thinking about this because people can take this in many, many ways. But the reason I decided to wear this is I've been doing this work for almost two decades. Almost two decades. And in rooms, I have heard people say, oh, listen, boy, I've been doing this. I've been in these organizations for three decades and nothing has changed. What are you going to do to make things different? And my reaction is, if we keep doing things like we have done them in the past, we'll keep getting the same results. And that applies to DEI as well. So, yes, there are rules. And when I say rules, what I'm really talking about is mindsets. What I'm talking about is systems that will need to be broken if we want to achieve success and change in the future. And change for everybody, not just a group of people, but for the entire organization.
Absolutely. And Joey, tell us a little bit more about, like, in this post-COVID world that we live in, right? We have now, remote work has now become a thing. How do you drive this inclusive culture and environment in organizations that are now more spread out than ever?
Absolutely. You know, in my work, I get the chance to work with people literally from across the globe. The other day, I was sitting in Puerto Rico teaching a class about intercultural differences. I had students in Barcelona, in Chile, and Ireland. Like, I was sitting in the middle, like, we literally are touching the entire world. So technology has helped us connect with each other. So, you know, when you think about location differences, no longer is a barrier. So that's number one. So we have broken the barrier of geographic location. The other thing is helping diversity, because companies are accessing a global workforce. So before, you could only have people in your city come to work for you. Now, all of a sudden, you have access to a global workforce. There are a ton of challenges that come with that, but at the end of the day, you have access to more talent. Now, my concern with all of this, as everything, we have pros and cons, is that belonging can be challenging. Because people tend to stay with people they like, with people that are similar to them. So belonging and inclusion has to be more intentional. So if you, as a leader, are just hoping for people to connect with each other and to be more inclusive and to experience belonging, you're probably going to have a hard time, because we got to be intentional in our approach. So I think that's the challenge that I see with it.
One of the conversations I was having actually with some HR professionals not too long ago was they were asking us, they were like, Eric, what's going to change now, this new era of AI and this remote work era and technology is becoming more prevalent. I told them, I said, look, your superpower has not changed. If anything is needed today more than ever, what's going to change is the tools you use and the mechanisms you use. But if anything, the human work of working with individuals, identifying the potential of individuals, helping organizations grow, develop, is needed today more than ever.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts about how do the organizations of the future look like, not only in this technological space, but also in this world that we want to create more belonging and inclusivity?
I love that. And I love that question, because AI can help us automate the way we analyze promotions, evaluations, development, and hiring, particularly because we can identify patterns of discrimination, patterns of hiring. How are we doing with this particular group? And once we hire that particular group of individuals, what is their life like in the organization? So we can use technology to kind of analyze their human experience in the workplace. So we can be more surgical. So it's not so much about stories or the feeling, but the numbers behind those stories. So that's why I'm so excited about AI. I'm so excited about what that can represent to HR, to DEI, because it will help us notice the patterns across the entire talent management cycle.
So as you talk about being more surgical also requires us to be more vulnerable, right? As organizations or as leaders to recognize, hey, you know what? I have an issue. I have a concern here. You know, because technology came in and basically opened up that that challenge, how do we embrace our vulnerability? How do we as organizations or as leaders or individuals say, you know what? Yeah, I do have a challenge and I need to do something about it. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you help us with
that? That question gets to my gut right now because I'm experiencing something related to that. When we lack transparency, when we lack vulnerability, it will catch up with you, period. I promise you. I have a particular client that hid a report. They did an internal study within the organization, and they were too afraid of the results. They were too afraid of news being aware of what was happening. That was 7 years ago. Literally, a few days ago, an investigation put the report live and public to the world. We may feel afraid of transparency. We may feel not comfortable with vulnerability, but I'll tell you this. Embrace the potential pain now and don't wait in the future. Embrace it now. And yeah, it sucks. It will be uncomfortable understanding that you have an imperfect organization, that an organization that has pockets of bullying or harassment or you name it. Face it on now. Don't wait for later because it will catch up with you. And that's why so many groups are asking for accountability. Because for years, we have seen the same problems and we keep letting it go. So that's why I'm excited about technology. Because if technology can help me set the patterns, get the evidence, have the analytics, then we are closing to real accountability.
Yeah, it reminds me of the story about Ford, the car company, and they were going through like this massive crisis in the early 2000s. And basically, they had to change leadership. They had to change the new CEO. And what they realized was that the culture there was they were highlighting some of the issues, but they didn't want exactly what you're saying was accountability for it, right? Because it ended up being not about the problem. It ended up being about the person. And they're like, no, guys, like we're all in this together. And so what Ford did is that they started changing the culture and started saying, hey, you know what? If there's something here that's in the red, let's go and tackle it as a company, as an organization. It's not necessarily on the leader or on the individual, on the team. Hey, we're all in this together. We all wear the exact same badge. We all have the same mission. And so what ended up happening was 24 months later, they turned it around. Well, guess what? 24 months later was also the financial crisis. The car industry got bailed out. Ford was the only company that was not bailed out. Because they had created this culture of not only, you know, addressing the issues, but tackling them in a timely manner that didn't let them compound. Then I mean, eventually, hey, they needed the help. You know, that they didn't. The help was not there when they needed it, right? So it was absolutely a turnaround story
for Ford at that time.
Absolutely, and listen, transparency is not easy. As a leader, you have teams of people. And particularly, you have the lawyers, you have the financial, the HR. All of them will provide you different recommendations, different advice. And as a leader, you kind of freak out at times. But I'll tell you, in this space, when we embrace that transparency and we said, listen, let's be honest, let's be upfront, and let's embrace our shortcomings. We don't only show vulnerability, we show that we are an organization that are here for the long run, and at the center of our mission is our people. So we have a culture that loves our people, that prioritizes people and their experience. You will win talent, not only the talent that you currently have, but the talent that is watching outside.
Ooh. Yeah, I do believe that the future is going to be much more about not necessarily want to go and work for that company. I want to go and work for where Joey is working today. Mm-hmm. And because Joey advocated for that experience, I want to go and work in his team or in that organization or what have you, right? So I think the companies are starting to realize that too and saying, hey, you know what? We can't just highlight the goodness about our brand, we need to highlight our employees that are basically an extension in the front facing of our brands as well.
Yep, that net promoter score, it's key. You know, right now, if you have these disgruntled employees, they have so many platforms to go out and talk about their experiences. So thinking about the human experience from the beginning, middle to end, even those people that leave your organization, thinking about what is the experience and being intentional in every single milestone and step will help us create experiences that will stay with people.
I love that. And Joey, as we wrap up here, what do you envision yourself doing in the next 5 to 10 years? I know one of the things that you were saying, you know, break our rules. We're in this in this moment now in this industry, but as technology accelerates, as the world continues to change, as you enter this new area too of your life chapter of a parent, you know, what do you see like the most exciting transformation that you could see probably in the next 5 years, not only in the work that you do, but in the experiences of everyone?
Dismantling barriers. There are so many barriers right now. We live in a free country, right? And we're blessed in that way. But there are so many countries, there are so many places across the world that need freedoms of speech, that need inclusion, that need belonging. So I see myself working in dismantling barriers, dismantling discrimination at a global scale. And I see that virtual room that I had the other day with people from across the world. Well, let's unite even more countries. Let's talk about diversity and inclusion in countries where they believe that they don't have an issue. We don't have a diversity issue here. I have heard that from different countries and actually quite advanced countries. No, every place in Earth has division. So let's study it. Let's look at it, and at the end of the day, keep talking and taking the actions to achieve the change that we need.
I love that, Joey. Again, thank you so much. That's going to stick with me, dismantling barriers. That's what the future of the human experience could be like. Again,
yes.
Joey, I thank
Absolutely,
you so much.
Hermano,
appreciate it for everything. And Joey, tell us a little bit more where we could find you. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, LinkedIn is my top social media. So Miguel Joey Aviles and joeyaviles.com is my website. Reach out, and we have an amazing team just waiting to hear from you.
Awesome. Thank you again, Joey. Greatly appreciate the time.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
awesome.
Brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Exactamente. So, sí, díganos un poquito más entonces, Joey, que tú estás en este camino de no solamente las compañías tratando de desarrollar la cultura del futuro, pero ahorita que estamos en este mundo global, estamos teniendo empleados por todo el mundo, díganos un poquito más sobre las dificultades de desarrollar una cultura que es más global y más inclusiva.
You know, cuando yo pienso en la comunidad hispana, nosotros somos una comunidad bien conectada con una otra, que lo mismo puede representar cerrada. Tenemos nuestros propios núcleos y cómo podemos expandir y escalar, abrir nuestras compañías a un punto global. Permíteme darte un ejemplo. Por ejemplo, empresarios en Puerto Rico. Nos enfocamos en la isla, nos enfocamos en servir nuestra gente. Pero ¿qué tal el crecimiento fuera de nuestros bordes? ¿Qué tal del crecimiento fuera de nuestras cuatro paredes? Entonces, creo que hay una oportunidad grandiosa de expandir la mentalidad a alcanzar otras culturas, otros territorios, otros lugares. Y para lograr eso, tenemos que entender que sí, establecemos comunidad de cerca, pero también fuera de esas comunidades hay mucho más que explorar.
Claro. Y yo creo que uno de los superpoderes como latinos es nuestra habilidad de entrar a diferentes culturas. Y yo creo que ahorita que estamos entrando a este mundo más tecnológico, más complejo, yo creo que como latinos tenemos una habilidad muy, una oportunidad muy linda de liderar esos cambios, esas dificultades. Decir, hey, ¿sabes qué? ¿Cómo puedo conectarme ya con una cultura de este otro país, de otro país? Y como latinos lo hemos hecho por años, sino por décadas. Lo hicimos por nuestros padres, o lo hacemos ahorita como padres nosotros mismos. ¿Qué piensas que puede ser como un superpoder que tenemos como latinos hoy en este país, en Estados Unidos, para podemos, que nos pueda ayudar a navegar este mundo que se está volviendo más digital.
La generación Gen Z de latinos es la más grande. Somos 25% de todos los Gen Z en Estados Unidos son latinos. Piensa en eso por un momento. El número es grandioso y ellos están liderando esta transformación más que cualquier otro grupo. Cuando analizamos la data, los Gen Z están liderando social media, la adaptación, están liderando de cómo ellos comparten sus mensajes, cómo comparten sus experiencias con diferentes marcas. Y las compañías lo saben. So, lo que estamos viendo es un cambio en el pensamiento de que los hispanos son seguidores. No. La nueva generación de hispanos son líderes. Sus compañías los están utilizando para crear segmentos únicos, no tan solo para la comunidad latina, pero para toda la nación. Por ejemplo, el fenómeno de Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny ha roto paradigmas ahora mismo, estando en Time Magazine, estando en Spotify, el número uno en Spotify por 3 años, y todo esto hablando en español. No simplemente adoptando el inglés, sino diciendo, esta es mi cultura y yo las quiero abrir al mundo.
No, es verdad. O sea, yo creo que hasta esta siguiente generación también es una generación no solamente conectada, pero también posiblemente hasta bilingüe también, sí, ¿no? Que es algo también transformador. Y ya que estamos entrando a este mundo que es más digital, más conectado, ¿qué aspiras tú también para, por ejemplo, ahorita que estás celebrando, ya eres padre también, ¿cómo ves el futuro para tu hijo que está entrando a este mundo que es digital y más conectado y más inclusivo? ¿Qué aspiras para él?
Un futuro sin límites. Un futuro sin límites. Eso es lo que nosotros estamos buscando. El ser latino es un plus, no un negativo. Y esta nueva generación se está parando en una posición en donde estamos abrazando nuestra cultura, no huyendo de ella, sino que somos latinos con orgullo y estamos representando no tan solo nuestra comunidad, pero otras comunidades también. Yo creo que tenemos una oportunidad increíble y hay una pregunta que yo creo que todas las personas tienen que contestarse. Yo quiero, y de hecho todos los que nos están escuchando, vamos a analizar tu núcleo, tu network. ¿Quiénes están ahí? ¿Solamente estás con gente que habla tu idioma? ¿Solamente estás con gente que tiene tus mismas creencias? ¿O tienes una diversidad innata en donde tienes personas que hablan diferentes lenguajes, que son de diferentes colores, de diferentes razas, que vienen de distintos lugares? ¿Cuán rica es tu network? Y cuando nosotros contestamos esa pregunta, sinceramente, nos podemos dar cuenta que muchas veces pasamos nuestro tiempo con personas que nos hacen sentir cómodos. Salgamos de esa zona de confort by dándole la bienvenida a personas que vienen de otras culturas a nosotros mismos. Y eso se puede hacer dentro de la cultura hispana. Claro. Porque cuando pensamos en la cultura hispana, venimos de más de 24 países diferentes. So, muchas veces creamos esta categoría, pero en realidad dentro de la comunidad hispana hay una diversidad exquisita.
Sí. Y Joey, ¿qué piensas que nosotros podemos también como líderes en estas comunidades, cómo podemos ayudar esa transición de que estamos tratando de tener un mundo más global también, o sea, también que es más conectado. ¿Cómo podemos ser líderes en nuestras compañías mismas que estamos sirviendo en diferentes roles o diferentes funciones? ¿Cómo podemos nosotros en las compañías mismas ser esos ejemplos de líderes de más conectividad y más global?
Yo creo que nosotros debemos empezar a practicar con nuestras abuelas. Y con nuestras mamás, sentémonos a hablar con ellas, practiquemos ahí, porque si tú logras convencer a tu abuela, a tu mamá de lo que está pasando, y es posible, Eric, you know, tú ves abuelas ya en los WhatsApp, en el YouTube, you know, recording sus historias, estando pendientes. Hay muchas que se han ido famosas. Y eso es la conexión intergeneracional. Ahora mismo es poderosísima. So, ¿cómo logramos lograr que esta conectividad incremente? Comencemos en casa. Comencemos en casa y utilicémoslos como práctica. Porque si logramos aprender esto en casa, después podemos ir a las compañías y expandirlo a grandes proporciones.
Qué bello. Y bueno, Joey, ya culminando aquí, ¿qué aspiras tú en unos 5 años, en 10 años, con este trabajo que tú estás haciendo, con este movimiento que tú estás liderando? ¿Qué aspiras tú, el impacto que tú quieres hacer con este trabajo?
You know, lo que yo envisiono es continuar rompiendo barreras. No tan solo para nuestras comunidades aquí, pero también a grande escala. Como latinos, tenemos que pararnos en los screens, tenemos que contar nuestras historias, tenemos que tomar una posición porque nuestras voces muchas veces no se están escuchando. So, tú, yo y otros tenemos que utilizar nuestras voces para continuar derribando barreras a nivel global.
Qué bello. Bueno, con ese mensaje de esperanza, pero también creo que es una llamada de acción para todos nosotros, que todos tenemos una parte para colaborar en esas barreras que podemos estar rompiendo día a día. Así que otra vez, Joey, muchísimas gracias por la conversación. Y bueno, y también, ¿cómo podemos conectarnos contigo en social? ¿Cómo la gente se puede conectar?
Pues mira, LinkedIn es mi top network, pero también Instagram, Joey Avilés y joeyavilés.com. Así que ahí es donde me pueden conseguir.
Otra vez, Joey, muchísimas gracias.
Gracias, Eric, y muchas gracias y éxito en lo que estás haciendo.
Muchas gracias. Uh-huh.